Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
Be a part of the show. Text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
It's kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting, Nick. All week long, I think they're doing guest jumbles from readers. They drew it themselves, and they send in their own puzzle. Today's guest jumbler is Rick Stromoski. Oh, and he does a real cartoon, Soup to Nuts. You ever see that cartoon?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, he did a whole jumble. How about that? It's very cool. Very, very cool indeed. Fred Calgill is going to join us. A bonus Tuesdays with Fred as we catch up with the, I don't know how I describe him, the convalescing, because you haven't had your surgery yet, right? When are you going for that?
Tomorrow morning at 7:30 a.m. with Dr. Roof.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. So you're a little nervous, are you?
You know, you go through a lot of emotions in all this, as you obviously know, having walked down these kinds of roads before. I've been scared flat out for a long time, but frankly, the different emotion now has sort of overtaken me, one of just, I'm ready. I am.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have fought for 13 weeks. I have gone through 39 therapy sessions up to 3 hours each, and I'm emotionally and physically kind of not exhausted, but I am ready.
Yeah, I don't blame you. That's what a lot of people don't realize. I didn't realize how much work you've got to do before the surgery. I mean, I know there's a rehab, and it's involved, obviously, after the surgery, but I wasn't aware that you've had to do so much stuff to strengthen everything around it before you even go in for the surgery. So, my goodness, to do all that, and then it's not like you're going to be back to square zero, but in a lot of ways you are. You're going to be starting all over again once they do the surgery.
Correct.
You have to start rehabbing all over again. So, that's you better.
You
better give yourself a pep talk.
Exactly. Boy, that's true. I just had a series of tests, and I passed with grade A on everything, that I'm ready for this. You know, range of motion, strength of the knee, strength of, you know, everything. And now I'm going to the doctor at 3 o'clock for another check before we do this in the morning. But all signs look like we're go. I'm ready for it. And so I'm going to try. I'm doing the 11 o'clock tonight, which will be the last time I'm on probably for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. And, you know, the doctor keeps sounding more and more optimistic. He wants me to throw away my crutches and my brace by January 1st.
Wow.
And he talked to a mutual friend yesterday about me, and is very, very positive about, as time has gone on, because of all the work I've done, that the amount of invasiveness he thinks he's going to have to do tomorrow has dropped a lot from the very beginning. I mean, so he's thinking the meniscus may only be minimal cleanup, and obviously the big thing then is the ACL transplant. But the meniscus, frankly, creates, the more invasive it is, the longer the recovery is. The ACL, not so much. And because my leg is so strong right now, you lose about 40% of your strength within the first 2 days after surgery. But they're going to have me on my feet that day, and I'm in therapy Friday afternoon. So we're going to pick up right where we left off, and there's hope that within 4 weeks I'll be driving again.
Wow.
And maybe within 6 weeks I'll be part-time, and maybe by February 1st I'll be back full-time.
Great. Well, that's fantastic. Are you, if I may be so blunt, are you in pain, or has the pain phase passed?
Yes, it hurts. And that's part of the physical and emotional exhaustion. So you have to go off a number of drugs that I've been, not anything of huge consequence, but the big thing, frankly, for me was the ibuprofen. It really made a huge difference. And I had to go off that because that is a blood thinner. And I've had to go to Tylenol, which isn't working really at all. So I'm in, you know, like a 2.5, 3 constant pain which is nowhere near what I was in when it happened. But, you know, the ibuprofen, frankly, was pretty effective even when I first got hurt, to at least take the edge off. A pretty sharp edge back at the beginning, as you might imagine. But, I'm like, you know, I hardly slept last night. I was, you know, the leg was bothering me, and I was exhausted. I've been on it all again today. So, you know, I've come to the realization I've gotten about as far as I'm going to get. That it's time. And that, because the only thing, I mean, I want my knee back. I want my life back. And the only thing that's going to do that is the surgery. And they're extremely confident that they're going to be able to do that for me. So it's time to do it.
You know, it's funny you say that because, you know, this with when I was going through the stuff, I had my back stuff, I was taking a lot of, I always get them mixed up which is which, but I was taking whatever the Aleve is. And
well, I'm not sure.
But yeah, the thing is that
acetaminophen is Tylenol and ibuprofen is Advil. I'm not sure about Aleve.
Well, it's another one, but Advil and Aleve both affect your kidneys, and I was having kidney failure, and so I had to get off those. And Tylenol, if you take way too much of Tylenol, it'll affect your liver, but I'm not taking way too much of it, so I've been taking Tylenol. And I must say, it does help, but I agree with you. I may have to call them and see if I could pop in one of those other ones like a week or something, because the Aleve made such a difference. It really did. It was unbelievable. So, but it's not worth wrecking my kidneys over, because
that's exactly right. And that's kind of where I am with this, that, you know, to make the jump back now, I'm going to leap of faith. I mean, I'm going to be in there like an 8-year-old little boy, you know, going to the principal's office, but I'm just going to ask him to give me a sedative before I go into the, you know, I don't want to see the operating room or anything. It's in a surgical procedure place over in Jeffersonville next to the old Colgate plant. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Roof does this all the time. I mean, that really helped me a lot hearing one of the physical therapists talk about it the other day. He's like, he does this all the time. He does these, you know, all day on Wednesday and, you know, a lot on Thursday. And this is just another thing. I'm like, yeah, but it isn't for me.
yeah, anyway, that's the old definition. What's the definition of minor surgery? A surgery on somebody else. That's what minor surgery is.
Exactly. But it's, you know, I'm in as good a place as I'm going to be physically. I'm as good a place as I'm going to be mentally. You know, 13 weeks to fight to get here. And, you know, as you and I have touched on more than once, it's a roller coaster ride, especially emotionally. But to see how far I've come and to know where I want to be, and I know, you know, just sitting here and keeping due therapy is not going to do it. So it's a simple question. What do you want? I want my life back. I want my golf with my friends back, including you, the time spent, right? I mean, that's so much of it is priceless for me, and I've been in my happy place with you and our mutual friends in a long time. And I've taken rides and carts and all that with people, but that's still very special, don't get me wrong, but I think the game is so cathartic in so many ways. You and I come from the same window of time, and we've had our moments when we briefly could actually, you know, be competitive with some serious golfers, and we had that, but now it's a lot more about just, you know, people with shared experiences, and golf gives you that venue to do it, and it's priceless. It really is. So it doesn't matter how much. I'll start playing the junior tees. I don't care. I want to be able to swing it again.
Exactly.
I mean, chipping and putting, I'll do it for now. That's what it takes. And they've warned me, you know, I'm going to be fragile, and I'd also like to start shooting video again, and it's a process. Mm-hmm. So if this timeline works, even when I go back in February full time, I'd be very fragile. So, you know, golf, April 15th, I'm hoping. You know, it's a really short list of places I want to do it. And I just came from Valhalla. Valhalla's on that short list. I would just, even if it's 9 holes, even if it's just, you know, half swings from 100 yards and, you know, a chip and a putt kind of thing, I'd be a happy boy.
We need a pitch and putt course around here. We don't really have one. Every other place I've lived has had a little. Not a par 3 course. You ever play a pitch and putt course? Those are fun. They're, you know, you only go around with a wedge and a putter or a 9-iron and a putter. And
I like it.
To carry.
I like it. Yeah, Hirschsprung's got a nice executive course, but that's longer.
Who does?
Hurstburn has a really nice executive course.
Oh, yeah.
But that's long. The true, I know what you're saying, 100 yards is like the longest hole kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. They're all between like 40 and 100 yards. And, you know, it's fun. They had one down at Jones Beach, and we used to play you wear your flip-flops. You don't even put golf shoes on. You know, so you just walk, and it's an easy walk, and it was fun. It was really, really fun. I mean, I used to look forward to that tremendously. But that'll give you something to look forward to. So we'll get you back out on the golf course soon. And I still have your present for you. I'm not telling you what it is yet. I'm waiting for you to.
Okay.
Waiting for this.
I look
surgery.
Forward to seeing you. More importantly, seeing you, but also the present as well. That'd be great.
Oh yeah, you'll like it. It'll give you something to do while you're in your rehab. So keep your mind off things.
Okay.
Keep your mind occupied.
Well, if I'm lucky, I'll start. I mean, they tell me tomorrow is going to be pretty, you know, not fun. When I wake up and all of that, it's the nerve block wears off in the afternoon, and I'll start taking like Percocet 10, some sort of nuclear painkiller. And then Thursday probably won't be a barrel of laughs either. But they say starting Friday, they're going to, you know, in therapy, you know, they're going to get me back going and, you know, the climb begins.
How long are you in the hospital? Or is it, you're rehabbing at
not
home?
Long.
Or they're going to keep you there a couple of days?
I'll be home by noon.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
Now they get you on your feet almost as soon as you are not a danger to yourself, which you could make the case as always, but in medical terms, dangerous to myself, probably like lunchtime, and then go back to the house and just kind of find a hopefully a comfortable spot. I've saved some movies to watch, and obviously golf will be on. I think golf will be on. Maybe not, because it's the end of list of seniors finished last week. And kind of go from there and just, you know, they say that because of all the work I've done now, that the recovery time might be half of what it was. So if, you know, if this is a 40-week total window, instead of, in 13 weeks in front might actually minimize it a lot, and back and might even be, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks if I'm lucky. So much of it depends what they find and what he really has to do, and to some degree how I react to it. But so far, everything they predicted has come true in terms of the dramatic jumps I've made. And, you know, just being back at work has been a lot of fun, just seeing my friends and being on the news last night. You know, just I've done that for the last 3 weeks on Mondays and Tuesdays. And that's probably where I'll start again in late December or early January, just a couple days a week until I can get my feet under me and the doctor clears me to come back full time.
Fred Cowgill, who everybody probably in the city knows by now, was the opening day of the football season, got his whole leg, knee wiped out pretty much completely and been rehabbing since just to get ready for surgery, and that'll happen tomorrow. So that's what the discussion is. By the way, was that at the Trinity game?
Yes, it was opening night, August 20th, first play offensive scrimmage for Trinity. Armand Tucker diving for the right end zone and the east end of the stadium and found me.
Unbelievable, because you know, you're kind of a reflection of their year. They started 0-6, and yet they're marching through the playoffs here, incredibly. So they bounced back. So you guys are in the same boat. I was just reading in the paper today about their. I mean, I knew they started 0-6, and I was like, wow, what happened to Trinity? And here they may still wind up winning the state championship. Who knows? It's unbelievable.
Well, I'll take some inspiration from that. Hopefully, I'm going to march through this rehab too. That'd be a nice thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Best of luck to you, my friend. You'll be in our thoughts and prayers, and I hope everything goes well. And I know I speak for a lot of people listening in the city that we'll see you sooner rather than later.
I'm counting on it, my friend. Thank you so much. It means
all right,
priceless
buddy.
To me. Thank you.
All right, take care of yourself. Fred Cowgill, our good friend, and I know sharing our good wishes with him, so wish him the very best as he undergoes
good
surgery.
From old Freddie C.
Yeah, it was. I knew it was close. I didn't know it was tomorrow, though, so that was nice that we got to talk to him today about that. What do we want to do? We want to take a break, and then you said it's going to be a text-a-palooza, so we'll...
We got a lot of good texts.
So that'll be good. I can't tell if this is a scam or not. I seem to remember a long time ago, back way before I got any illness, that I did one of those things where you can buy a cruise, but you don't have to use it, you know, and you go to Mexico, and we never used it, and so now I just got a text that says this confirms your Mexican sojourn. round trip from Los Angeles. I don't remember that, so that's got me nervous. And it's a good itinerary, but it's 17 days long, so that's out of the question. We can't do that. Although it sounds like a hell of a trip. Start in Los Angeles, 3 days at sea, then you're in La Paz, Mexico, then you sail it for a day, and you're in Mazatlan, Mexico, and then Puerto Vallarta for 2 days, then Manzanillo, Mexico, then you sail for a day, then you're in 2 days in Cabo San Lucas, then 3 days you sail and you're home in L.A. Sounds like a great trip. I'm almost certain I didn't book this. Don't you think this is a scam? Because it says here...
Yeah, it sounds fishy.
If you prefer an alternative journey, please contact Viking or your travel advisor by November 21st, 2021. I don't believe I booked this. Don't you think that's true? I'm almost sure. I don't. I'm almost positive I didn't book this because I didn't book a cruise unless Darlene did. I better ask your mother. Maybe she did. She's going without me. Maybe I just doubted her. She's going without me. She's going. I don't think so because it's during the school year, so she would. She's not. I don't think Providence is going to look favorably on her just taking 17 days off. Yeah, I'm still. I still got the sniffles. Sorry, I can't come in today.
Got to get that. Little sea air. Go to the ocean.
This is helping me. The doctor said I need to get out in fresh air. So I'll try and call you. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. I'll call you in 4 days. Oh, my. All right. Let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll have Textapalooza. You won't want to miss it here on the V Show on ESPN 680 1057.
Good day.
Dear John D.
Lovett.
John. John Dillermand. Han verdens længste dillermand. Der næsten ikke noget, han ikke kan med det. Han kan smile lidt rundt, han kan blive lidt flov. Han kan redde hele verden, hvis han bare fik lov. John Dillermand. John Dillermand. John Dillermand. John Dillermand. John Dillermand. John Dillermand.
Goddag.
Det John
Dillermand.
John
Dillermand. More V-Show with Bob Valvano is now. Right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Now, what made you think of that? Is that the guy with the particularly large, you know, is that the theme song for that guy?
Yes. It's the...
What brought that up?
Exactly? I was just looking. I noticed somebody. Actually, you know, yeah, this was exactly what the train of thought was. I noticed somebody liked a tweet on Twitter. Of course, because that's where you like tweets.
Like tweets, yeah.
And it was my friend, the Sackaroo, and he had changed his profile pic. And I got to thinking, I was like, man, I wish, you know, it always messes me up when someone that I've always, you know, associated with a profile pic. And as that person, you know, like, I don't like change sometimes. And I was like, I wish nobody else.
You're in the right city. You're living in the right place then, because that's exactly, that defines everything about this city. There's change automatically. It's awful. Top Golf, what? What are you, crazy? We'll go blind. You'll go blind.
Everyone will be blind and drunk, especially our pets. Yeah. No.
Exactly.
So I got to thinking, I was like, well, I've only changed my profile pic twice. The first one I ever had was me with the Batman mustache. And then I changed it to John Dillermand. And I got to thinking about, like, John Dillermand, and I typed it in, and I was like, this is a funny intro. Like, I'd heard the song before, but I never actually watched the intro. The cartoon's hilarious. I mean, it really is funny.
Take your word for it.
Well, I mean, it was a kid's cartoon, so it was harmless. But I'm describing it. He goes.
So people don't know what we're talking about. It's a cartoon in what country? What country is it?
Denmark. Denmark.
It's a children's cartoon, but he has a particularly large male member, ridiculously large,
and it's prehensile. So like he can, you know, use it as basically like, you know, like
lasso. He's like a superhero, and that's his weapon of choice, if you will. Yeah. So I'm not sure that's really a kid's cartoon, but I guess.
No, it 1,000% is a kid's cartoon. 1,000% is a kid's cartoon, and it's just.
You don't think kids would see that and maybe try and lasso somebody with their own particular.
Well, that's what people were seriously, type it in, John Dillermand. like it was created with child psychologists with the idea of it being because they wanted they were like, hey, we cannot make this weird because I mean this is just yeah. But they so they like triple checked it to make sure that it was in fact just something funny that was supposed to make everybody, you know, laugh and comfortable with their bodies and everything like that. And but it did get a lot of pushback from a lot of different groups, understandably. But it's funny. I mean, it's harmless and funny. I got to be honest. The intro here, he's fishing with it and he fights off. It helps that it's stop motion. So it's that funny claymation type looking thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's all these kids that are trapped on top of an ice cream truck and a lion's attacking them. And he runs up there heroically and uses his, you know, his member to just... And he like tames the lion with it, and all the and everyone cheers. And then there's another time he accidentally gets it stuck into a thing of balloons, and he's carrying him upside down. And some old woman has to come out and shoot the balloons down, which is actually a true. That's a true story. My great great grandfather, I think, or maybe great great uncle. My great uncle, he was a photographer for Paramount. And
but it's not a true story. He wasn't being yanked up by Willie Johnson, though. That's
no, okay, very, very, yeah. He was not, yeah, his member was not attached to a bunch of balloons, but he was taking, you know, back in the day, they didn't, you know, necessarily have a bunch of helicopters. So he attached himself to a bunch of balloons to get an aerial shot, and he couldn't come down. So they had to get a, you know, a marksman with a BB gun to shoot some of the balloons. To get him to come back down to Earth, which is just absolutely terrifying on so many different levels, you know.
Well, I won't be here for We Want to Know Wednesday, so I've got a couple. Paul Rogers told me this last night. I can't confirm, but he said, you know, there were 19 guys on their basketball roster, and they don't take them all on every trip, obviously. I guess they rotate, so they didn't have all 19 of them here, but there are 19 on the roster. And I don't know if some of them are playing on a JV. I don't know if they have a JV, but he said, Paul told me, I'm sure the listeners might know this, that if you're at an academy, at Navy, certainly, but I think at all the academies, you must play a sport. Did you know that?
I didn't know that. At all the academies, you must play a sport?
Yeah. Now, I said, I can't imagine. There's not enough teams. He said, well, I think it includes club sports, you know, as well. But if that's the case, I did not know that. So I learned something. I also learned that Louisville had only played Navy once before. And this was the number one song in the country with the day that Louisville played Navy the last time. And here it is.
Oh, I saw this.
I like this. Great song. Great slow jam. Come on, start singing, Billy, damn it. Oh, yeah. Him and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing. Oh, yeah, they got a thing going on. Me and Mrs. Jones, number one. The last time that Navy and Louisville met on the hardwood. And Louisville won that 68-52. This was on SportsCenter, I guess. The number one movie in the U.S. was Lady Sings the Blues, and this will get you all depressed. Average gas price, 36 cents a gallon.
Oh, ouch.
December 18th, 1972. So there you go. There's my two We Want to Know Tuesdays. All right. We have a gaggle, a veritable cornucopia of texts.
Oh, yeah. Tons of them here. This one texter said that story was not true at all. That's what I've heard. I've heard that.
What story wasn't true?
The one about who was it? His older brother, who was the
How would he know it's not true? How would he know that?
He's just being a douche.
How would he know that? That was my your Darlene's uncle. That her uncle was her mother. His mother's brother. He was a photographer. In fact, they one of her uncles. I'm not sure it's the same guy. No, it's not. I think it was this guy's son. Their last name was Mingalone. And if you look at on the Woody Allen movies, he just passed away recently. His camera operator was always Dick Mingalone. He was the camera operator on.
Wait, Uncle Dick passed away.
His son. I think so. Our family is. I should know more, and I don't. But they're all over the place. But I don't know which one. But I know that one of them was the newsreel photographer, and I think his son went into the business too and became a. Yeah, he did. Became a cinematographer and worked in the movie industry and was you know Woody Allen. When he found somebody that he liked, respected their work, he that was his guy. So he worked. Almost his whole life. The only other movie I knew he did was he did The Money Pit. I don't know if you saw that. That's a movie where Tom Hanks and what the hell is the woman's name who played on Cheers? I can't stand when I get older like this. It's awful. Shelley Long. They buy a house, and it's just as the name implies, a money pit. They wind up fighting over it, and he was the cameraman for that. He told a story about that. There's a scene in there where the whole scaffolding of the house is up, and it's a one, disaster. It's kind of like a mousetrap game, and the thing falls completely down. And if you watch very carefully, one part of it didn't work right, but they couldn't shoot it again. It was impossible. They had one shot at it, so they had to use what they had. But you have to really be looking for it to see it. But anyway, he's on there. So
this
texter, I don't know,
said
it wasn't him.
He said, "Hey, I wasn't talking about your uncle. I was talking about not having to play sports at the academies. That's not true."
Oh. All right. Well, no. Perfect. I was going to say, what do you know what Darlene Smuckle did? Mingalone, I knew him, that lying SOB. So it's not true. They don't all have to play this. So why did Paul say that? Paul told me a fib.
Well, maybe it's one of it's.
Paul fibbed.
They have to. I mean, I know they have to have a certain amount of like physical activity. So maybe I don't know.
No.
4-3.
Defend him. He told a fib.
All right. I'm going all the way back to the beginning of the show because a couple of these people. Sent some funny ones, and they haven't sent the second one. Probably because they're mad we haven't read their answer the first one. This guy said, it was good to see you and Paul behind the bench on TV last night, glistening. Good to see you guys back in the building. Normalcy is slowly returning. This other person said, this could spark an insane discussion.
Okay.
Guys, put your egos aside.
Me? Meaning me and you put our egos aside?
I guess. Who at ESPN okay. Louisville has the best radio voice?
Well, I don't know. It's a good question.
That is tough. Honest to God, back in the day, I thought Magic did. When Magic was here, I thought he had the most, stereotypical... Right, best radio voice.
I would say maybe, Diener, possibly. Diener's got a good radio voice, I think. They don't think so? I think so.
I could put it up as a poll if you want. I mean, it is Bet Rivers Twitter poll Tuesday, but I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers.
What four people are you going to put up there? What four people are you going to put up as nominees?
I don't know. That's the problem. I don't know if we should, factor in...
if you want, if you could do it if you leave out 93.9, because it would then be just it would be Diener and me and Andy, and I don't know who else.
But there's co-hosts too. I mean, there's also we got Blank, we got Perrin, we got Issel and Pratt, we got Strebs. I don't know.
Well, then you can't ask it. So I would say my first instinct was to say Ennis and Diener, but I still think that's probably the answer, I think.
Diener?
I think we'd be in the discussion, you and I, when we're not.
Oh, yeah. No, I've actually been told by a lot of people I kind of sound like H. John Benjamin. I sound like Bob Belcher, and he's got that great gravelly, that just kind of deadpan, deep voice. I'm sort of like a cross between... there's this thing on Twitter where they're saying you retweet four photos and it's celebrities that people say you look alike. And I would say that I've been told I sound a lot like Archer and Bob Belcher, which are both H. John Benjamin characters. I've been told I look like Tony Danza and Gerard Butler. That was kind of pleasant. That was nice. That's like when I was a little skinnier when I was playing hockey. I don't know if there's any other two celebrities that I've been told that I look like, but anywho, you want me to do that? You want me to?
I wouldn't do it because I don't know what four people I'd put. He asked our opinion. We answered the question. I think I'd move on to the next question.
Let's see here. Jamie just sent me this text.
Uh-oh.
Holy crap. You come on and my speakers almost blow. Holy spit. Is the mic in your throat? My ears. Not a shot. Not a shot at John Benjamin. Get the truck out of here. My little brother, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for listening. I didn't say I sound exactly like him. I've been told by numerous people that occasionally I sound a little bit like him. Thank you, Jamie.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Move on.
Jamie's voice sounds like a fart escaping a dead cat.
Okay, there we go. Now let's move on. I tried desperately, listeners, to move him on, but I had a feeling he was going to pull into that parking space at least for a minute. So now we'll have to get the tow truck and yank him back out.
Let's see here. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. You can nick Strebel from that poll, Nick. He can't form a sentence without vetoing. I don't want to make fun because I sometimes stutter or veto and, you know, a little bit too.
What's
so
vetoing?
It's you don't know the show, but there was a show, you know, the show Jackass, where they would do all the
And
they do all the goofy, the stunts or whatever. Well, one of the characters on the show, Bam Margera, got a spinoff show. It was a reality show called, like, Viva La Bam. And it was just basically them doing a couple of other stupid stunts. And it was a reality show. And he would just piss off. I want to say it was his father. And his father was, like, I hate to say it, like a stereotypical chubby, like, Italian guy. And he would get all mad at Bam and would just go, you know, just get all like pissed off and everything like that. So Andy coined the phrase, which was hilarious, vetoing. Oh, and okay. when Strebel gets really, you know, animated or angry or something like that, he vetoes trying to make a point.
Yeah. And I'll be honest. I've heard him veto. I have heard him do that. That's true.
And
it's part of his character, though. That's what
it's all in good fun, but every week they do the mixtape and
there's at least
Jack puts the veto medley in there and it never fails to get me to crack up. I'm going to last week's here. And this is, you know, and by the way, you know, I don't want to use stuff without citing sources. Check in, you know, tune into the mixtape presented by Hightower Men's Clinic. Talk about John Dillman. Hightower Men's Clinic mixtape, 5:30 every Friday. But these were the vetoes from last week.
It's part of his charm.
Oh, man, I love this.
He's a very nice man.
We love Streeps. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Jamie says, hey, you're welcome. By no means turn your mic down. Jesus Christ, I almost threw it into a guardrail.
Don't say that on the air. Stop doing that. People don't appreciate that. Don't do it.
Hey, that's your favorite son taking the most favorite son's name.
Don't read. He sent it to you. Don't read it.
So. Oh, okay. Oh, it's my fault again, of course. I've thought Nick looks like Duff Goldman. I don't know about that.
I don't know who that is.
It's Duff Goldman. I thought.
If you didn't know who he
was.
Well,
because originally I thought it was. I thought he was saying Duffman from The Simpsons, and I was like, I don't know about that. He's Jeffrey Adam Duff Goldman is a pastry chef, television personality, and cookbook author. If I was bald, I could almost pull it off.
Yeah, I'll buy that if you were bald, but you're not bald. You don't look anything.
Well,
like
process that. Says I have a receding hairline, but you know.
Why did he tell you that? Now you're not gonna lose sleep over that. Duff Goldman's wife is taller than he is. He got married in Chuck Taylor's.
Vito was the uncle. Yes, you're right. Thanks, everybody. It was not his dad. It was Vito was Bam's uncle that he would always torment. That's a good point.
Duff Goldman's wife is taller than he is. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but...
The Process's third voice is pretty good.
Process's third voice?
I don't know what that is, but he's starting to really nail... His
would have ended our tenure in radio, but God, it was a hanging curveball. The discipline it took not to swing.
Oh
at
yeah,
that.
No,
very
I was
proud of myself.
I'm proud of you.
There's 40 options flying through my head right now to fill in that blank.
I was pretty. I saw it coming too. I read the blitz. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. That was decent pocket presence by yours truly. But no, he's got three solid impressions he can do now. He can do Dan Issel. He's very good at Dan. He's very good at Jack Grossman. And they still kind of suck, but they're good enough that like his cadence is right and it'll make you laugh. And he can do a very good Andy Lukey impression. The Andy Lukey, the Jack Grossman, and the Dan Issel. I have to, you know, he's still, you know, a little... You know what Process is? Process is the little brother I never had.
Because, you have a little brother.
No, but Jamie was never the little brother. He was the little brother for about 14
took
seconds.
Took about a slap in the face. You have a little brother. He completely forgot about him. Wow. That was harsh.
Well, no, because he was never... He was my little brother for about 14 minutes, and then we were like twins, and then he became my older brother. Like ever since the radio bit was born, I hate everybody by the way for that. But no, so Process is seriously like what a stereotypical younger brother would be. Ever since you know Jamie started becoming like a goddess or a myth around these parts, Process came into my life, and God was like, "Well, you know, you need some form of little brother, otherwise the equilibrium will be off." And you know, so Process bops around and annoys me, and you know, interrupts the show, and you just broke news, late, bro. You have a hair, you know, receding hairline, man, and you know, and does you know all kinds of stuff like that. He's an annoying little brother, but he also comes to me for help all the time. Like he doesn't know how to book a guest. He's asking me like. You know, do I start it with, should I just call him? Should I just call him directly? And I was like, no, don't do that. We have text messaging. But, yeah, so it took me until this moment to realize the Process is truly the little brother.
One of a kind. Yeah. He's truly one of a kind.
But I don't know what Process's third voice is. I don't know what that is.
They don't know either. So we'll go to the next one. Go to the next text.
All right. This texter says, no, this is from our friend Dana. First off, says love Schitt's Creek. The best couple fight scene ever is from the movie Money Pit, and also says that Rummage has the best radio voice hands down. This guy completely disagrees and says that Diener is not the best voice. Now, he was the one that asked the question originally. He said, "What Diener? Hell no!" All right, yeah, Mr. Person, who do you think? I love that. Asked our opinion, and then we said no. And then he was like, no, that's terrible. 437-9680 UPS Jobs text line. Oh, hey, positive one. Thank you. Wanted to tell you guys what a great show you have. Listening from down in Tennessee, my boys are around Nick's age, and the banter you two have reminds me of when we all talk sports or life.
Oh, very nice.
God bless. Thank you very much.
Yes.
This guy
will be in prime banter season coming up because the holidays will be here. So we'll be all on top of each other. Put that in the mixtape. And so we'll be lots of bantering going on. And probably I'm going to get some good Bino playing too. I'm looking forward to Bino. Plus, Jamie bought a Rod hockey game that, you know, we still haven't played.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We got to bust that out. That's a good point. So I saw somebody, a little kid, playing with that on Twitter. He had
Bino?
Well, no, it was like a Caps fan Twitter account or whatever, and he had like the Caps, and he was playing as the Caps on the little rail hockey thing, and it was
cute. Nice.
This guy says it's actually payola, not peyote. But at first I was like, come on, man, really? But then he followed it up with peyote is what actually turns you into Taylor Swift.
Yes, we that's an inside joke. Yeah, that's getting the show.
That was pretty good. Forever. Let's see here. I'm trying to find one that I thought was pretty good. Here we go. Is it just me, or has Malik lost some flexibility or athleticism?
That's a good question. That's a question that deserves some serious discussion, because I pointed out in the last two games that every time they get him on a switch, they just go right at him, and they're going right by him. And the one thing that made him so good for, you know, early in his career was even when he was having some trouble with other things, he could switch onto guards and play them and not get beat, you know, not have flybys, not have guys just going right by him. And so I don't know, because last night he turned his ankle a little bit, came right off the floor, and then he went back in, and I don't think he has the flexibility yet that he would like to, and I don't know, maybe he won't, because it was a pretty serious injury, and they're going to have to figure out how to play around that. But you know, it never crossed my mind till last night, because I was like, it can't be a coincidence that every, you know, teams have noticed it. And I don't know if they know that he was hurt and that's why, but he can't guard people now like he used to. And so, you know, I mean, the last two games, ever since they switch almost everything, they just go until they get him on a guy in the matchup they want, and then they basically give that guy a little room, and he tries to go by him. And 90% of the time, he's been able to do it. So I don't know. Maybe he just, I don't know if he'll get better at that as he continues to work here. I agree. I'm concerned about that. He had developed a really nice little low post game last year. He hardly ever goes into low post. He's scoring all his points. He's shooting threes and shooting perimeter shots. And, you know, he had really developed a nice series. Remember, a little jump hook to the right, jump hook to the left. And he's gotten away from all that. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I haven't asked him about it. I'm sure even if it's true, they're not going to volunteer it. Hey, this guy doesn't feel 100%. Why don't you attack him every possession you can? I don't know. But I'm going to keep an eye on that as well. I'm concerned, and I hope it's not, because he's still very, very, very important to this team's big picture success. So it's a good question by the listener. What else you got?
437-9680 UPS jobs text line. Let's see here. Depth works if all players are all about the team. Eliminate the threes, and Navy shot 60% last night. That is a problem. Right.
I couldn't agree with you more. They're not, their defense is not what it should be right now. It's kind of like the Dave Kingman, Adam King, Adam, what was the guy from the, Adam Dunn from a philosophy of defense. Either steal and run out at the other end, or they're getting scored on. It's a home run and strikeout. They've got to be able to dig in and play good defense for a shot clock possession and challenge a shot and then go get the defensive backboard. And they're having a hard time doing that. And then even if they do, they're giving up way too many offensive rebounds. So yeah, it's that's a legitimate source of concern. I agree with you on that. So we'll have to see. A part of it, though, I think, is they don't really understand yet, and I don't even completely understand how they're going to balance. I'm not saying you can't. I'm not saying it skeptically, like, what is this? I mean, I don't see yet where they're going to find the balance between making the game go fast and still playing the pack line defense. Because if you're going to be that committed to the pack line, if the other guy chooses to play slow, you're going to have a hard time speeding him up. But if you try and speed him up, then you're going to compromise a little of your shooting percentage, probably. And that seems to be the problem right now. They're taking chances. They're getting steals. They had 14 steals last night, which is is off the charts. And they had 30 points off turnovers, which is spectacularly good. So that's great. But when they didn't get a steal and didn't get a turnover and it led to an easy shot, as you pointed out, they gave up tremendous shooting percentage inside the arc. Now, the good news is they did defend the line well. After having a hard time defending the three-point shot against Furman, they really ran Navy off the line pretty well last night. And that was good, because that's how you get upset. That's how Furman upset them. So that's good. But then they ran them off the line, and when they gave them three-point shots, it was a lot of times deep in the shot clock, tough shots, but then they didn't get the rebound. They gave up 12 offensive rebounds. That's the beauty of basketball, and it's one of the reasons I found it so fascinating to coach it and still find the game fascinating, is it's very, very, there's very few games that all the parts just integrate with each other so much. They really do. I mean, there's other sports, and there's different things that make those sports tremendously entertaining. But for example, if you're a good, really good defender, and if you're a good defenseman in hockey, you don't have to really be a great offensive player to have value to your team. You pretty much can just be a defender. I mean, the New York Islanders are a perfect example. They've got a pretty good team, and I believe I saw last week that they have only scored one goal. I think it was one goal, or maybe even 1 point. It must be one goal. They must have some assists. One goal from their back line players the whole season. That's really tough. It's really tough to maintain that. They have to contribute a little something on the offensive end. But they got good defenders, and they're a good team because they really defend very well. Basketball, I don't care how good you are at that, you've got to bring something to the table on the offensive end. It's just, you got to be able to pass or drive and draw a defender or do something, get an offensive rebound. I mean, Paul Silas, he probably played his whole NBA career and they never ran a play for him. But he was a relentless rebounder, and that included offensive rebounds, and so he had a value to them that way. So there's very few games where all the parts go together. I mean, if you play great defense but you can't get a rebound, what difference does it make? If they shoot, miss, rebound, shoot, miss, rebound, shoot, miss, rebound, shoot, and score, they're shooting 25%, but they're 100% in effectiveness coming down the floor and scoring. But that's the beauty of also with coaching it and watching a team develop. I certainly, nobody in America is a finished product right now. And of course Louisville and Kentucky for that matter are no exception. So it's to me, it's fun to watch the progress and then anticipates that they both will progress as the year goes on. So.
Have you reminded everyone about QC Kinetics?
I did.
And
last
you reminded
hour.
Everybody about Genesis, right?
I did.
Yep. Okay, cool. That's what I thought. All right, cool. Then I can read a couple more of these. 437-968 UPS job sex line. By the way, I apologize here. That texter that was like, Diener's not the best voice. I thought he was the one that asked the original question. He wasn't. And he also said that Bobby V has the best voice and the best personality.
Oh, I like that guy. Send him a prize. I'm such a pushover. There's a prize for best kiss up to the host today. No, that was very nice. Thank you. I never take that for granted. Appreciate that.
Let's see here. I only watched this last game, but it seems like some of the offensive rebounds were giving up because half the team is trying to move down the floor for the fast-paced offense as soon as
also
the opponent
true.
Puts up a shot like it's going to go in every time.
I think there's some merit to that they're so concerned with go, because that's such a commitment that they're taking off before they're going to the backboard. I think there may be some merit to that. So, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of it. Like I said, it could be that. You wonder what fatigue is going to play in on this, because this is a different way than they played last year, much different. And so everybody's got to adjust. But they do have some, listen, I don't think they're – at this point, among the nation's elite teams, but it doesn't mean they're bad. When I say elite teams, I mean, that's a wrong choice of words. They could very well be among the very good teams in the country, but, I mean, a team that right now you'd look at and say, they're probably a top 10 team or something along those lines. I don't think that's where they are right now. Maybe they develop into that, who knows, but it doesn't mean they're not a tournament team or couldn't even be a second weekend team, but they got a lot of work to do. But having said that, they have a guy who can play in the mid-range in Sam. They have shooters this year. They definitely have that. They have depth, which they haven't had in the past. Will they rebound, and will the inside guys step up? I think so. I mean, I still think that they've got skill sets up there, and they're going to get people healthier. But it's going to be a work in progress. Hey, everybody, I'll see you Friday for Fast Break Friday. Thanks for being with us today, and you take care of yourselves. The Take with Sweeney's next. Stick around.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases, tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.